From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief, with this week's Eagle's Eye View, your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. This week, I thought I'd look at several articles that came out related to risk factor control and their impact on health. We'll start with a study looking at prevalence of masked hypertension, and then we'll take a look at the impact of healthy lifestyle factors on life expectancy in the U.S. population. And then I'll finish with a couple of comments about an article looking at blood pressure in patients with stroke who've undergone a thrombectomy, which I think sheds a little bit of light on this interesting question of how we manage blood pressure in patients with a recent stroke. The first article is entitled Prevalence of Masked Hypertension in Untreated and Treated Patients with Office Blood Pressure Below 130 over 80. Obviously, the recent guidelines that changed our target for blood pressure have led to a reassessment of how we're doing in the evaluation and management of hypertension. This study was a study from a Spanish registry which included 45,000 untreated and 71,000 treated patients with hypertension. And the methods basically looked at current proposed values for blood pressure. So the current proposed value of 125 over 75 is the average 24-hour blood pressure, 130 over 80 daytime blood pressure, and 110 over 65, the nighttime blood pressure, corresponding to the current office cut point from the latest guidelines of 130 over 80. So this study looked at the relative frequencies of different types of hypertension in this 115,000 cohort study, which is massive. 90% of these came from primary care offices and 10% from either cardiology or hypertension clinics. And masked hypertension was present in 14%, and masked uncontrolled hypertension was present in 15%. According to European guidelines, where the recommendations are 5 millimeters of mercury higher. If you use the American guidelines, the frequency of masked hypertension was 28% and of uncontrolled masked hypertension, 30%. So obviously these are big numbers, and I think what the paper illustrates is the notion that if we start to measure blood pressure through the 24-hour period of life, we start to see groups of patients who in the office may be reasonably controlled, but based on daytime or nighttime pressures, actually are not. You may remember I reviewed an article just last week in the New England Journal by Benegas et al. From the same study cohort, which suggested that white coat hypertension was not benign, but that masked hypertension was even more important. And this study suggested that masked uncontrolled hypertension has a twofold increased risk for all-cause and cardiovascular mortality compared to patients who have treated hypertension. Certainly one of the take-home messages from the previous article and this article is that you and I have to be a lot more cognizant of the potential prevalence of masked hypertension, including uncontrolled hypertension. And if randomized trials bring this forward in terms of using 24-hour ambulatory blood pressure monitoring as part of the enrollment and potentially endpoint studies, it's quite conceivable that you and I will be using 24-hour readings in a more frequent basis to be more precise in identifying and treating patients with hypertension. The second article also came out in circulation this week, and it's entitled The Impact of Healthy Lifestyle Factors on Life Expectancy in a U.S. Population. And all of you remember the Nurses' Health Study, which ran from 1980 to 2014, and the Health Professionals Follow-Up Study that ran from 1986 to 2014. And in this study, the authors examined that group of more than 100,000 individuals who were followed for an extended period of time. And the question was, what was the impact of adopting lifestyle factors and longevity? And the five lifestyle factors that they looked at were never smoking, BMI in an ideal range, 18.5 to 24.9 kgs per meter squared, 30 minutes per day or more of moderate or vigorous physical activity, moderate alcohol intake, which for male was 1 to 2 drinks, for a female, 1 drink. And lastly, a healthy diet, which focused especially on kind of a Mediterranean notion, fruits, vegetables, fish, poultry. And they looked at hazard ratios for the association of these lifestyle factors with subsequent risk. There was 34 years of follow-up in the study, unbelievable, and there were 42,000 deaths. So a couple of take-home messages. First of all, the estimated life expectancy at the age of 50 was 29 years for women and 25 years for men who adopted none of those five lifestyle factors. Contrast that to patients who adopted all five. The projected life expectancy at age 50 was 43 years for women and 37 years plus for men. So interestingly, the increase was on average 14 years of life gained for women and a little over 12 years of life gained for men. These data, I think, with a phenomenal registry, with excellent follow-up, really illustrate the power of prevention in our patients. And we can use these data to help our individuals in our practices understand that we're not just dealing with small differences in life expectancy. The other thing, of course, is that your life is better if you live healthier for a variety of other reasons. The main criticism of this study is that it lacked relative diversity when compared to the overall ethnic and racial groups of the United States. But nevertheless, I think it certainly is an important study. Then the third article I want to mention today is related, and it's the association of blood pressure with short and long-term functional outcomes after stroke thrombectomy. And this looked at the recently reported SIESTA trial. This was a single-site study which randomized 150 stroke patients to undergo mechanical thrombectomy with either conscious sedation or general anesthesia. And the target blood pressure in SIESTA was between a systolic of 140 and 160. And this study actually looked at whether or not there was a change in neurologic function if there was a significant drop in blood pressure. And in this study of 150 patients, the authors were not able to show that a significant drop in pressure changed either the short or long-term functional outcomes in patients enrolled in that study. I think the important take-home message here is that SIESTA showed us that having an aggressive blood pressure target range of 140 to 160 appeared to be safe. And as you remember, the current guidelines for managing patients with stroke really have fairly relaxed guidelines where you don't really go crazy until the systolic gets quite high. This trial, although small, certainly suggests that it may be safe for us to adopt a slightly more aggressive target for blood pressure control. So I thought these three articles were sort of interesting caveats in the area of prevention. Certainly they give us food for thought about masked hypertension, the value of achieving optimal lifestyle, and also management of hypertension in patients who've had a stroke. So I want to thank you for listening to Eagle's Eye View. I enjoy the chance to bring you a cardiovascular update every week from ACC.org. I try to pick two or three articles a week that I think are relevant to our practices, and I think these articles certainly are in that general category since we're all involved with stroke, hypertension, and risk factor modification. So all of this material can be found on the American College of Cardiology's website. You can find us online or wherever you get your podcasts. And until next week, I hope you have a good one. Thank you.